Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 11 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. Today, I'll cover our second big or strategic topic, the topic of evil. The Bible passage for this episode is 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-5. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. I'm a software engineer by training and a product manager by experience. Those two jobs may seem very different, but they have a lot in common. One common element is problem solving. As a software engineer, I solve problems by writing code or, in many cases, fixing code that had been written already. Because I worked for software companies, the code that I wrote or fixed went into commercial software products that companies purchased. And so, ultimately, the problems that I solved were problems that our customers had. As a product manager, I solved problems by persuading product developers in my company to create new products or enhance existing products. The problems that these products or product enhancements solved were problems that our customers had. I learned that to solve problems effectively, you need a solid understanding of those problems. When those problems are experienced by other people, you need to understand those people really well. Here's the challenge. People can be difficult to understand. A good approach to getting to know someone is to ask him questions and analyze the responses. But what if he doesn't answer your questions, or he gives you incomplete answers? What if his answers don't make sense to you? What if he's lying to you? In the mid-1930s, Adolf Hitler began to expand the power of Germany. For example, he violated the Versailles Treaty by ordering German troops to re-enter the Rhineland. But Hitler did things that were more disturbing. His government removed citizenship for German Jews, seized their property, and began to build concentration camps. He punished and even eliminated anyone in Germany who opposed him. His police forces were called Legions of Death and wore skulls on their caps. What motivated Hitler? What were his ultimate goals? World leaders could not agree. In 1937, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, became convinced that Hitler did not want war, but could be appeased with a few concessions. The next year, however, Hitler annexed Austria and vowed to invade the German-speaking Sudetenland region of Czechoslovakia on October 1st. 2 weeks before that date, Hitler agreed to meet in Munich with Chamberlain and the leaders of Italy and France to discuss a diplomatic resolution. In 3 face-to-face meetings, Hitler told Chamberlain that Germany had no plans to expand beyond the Sudetenland. Chamberlain made careful mental notes about everything that Hitler said and did. When Hitler gave him a friendly handshake with both hands, Chamberlain felt that Hitler was in a sound state of mind and meant to keep the peace. After Hitler signed a non-aggression pact with Britain, Chamberlain returned home and assured the British that he had achieved, quote, peace for our time, end quote. 6 months later, Hitler moved beyond the Sudetenland and annexed the rest of Czechoslovakia. When the Nazis subsequently entered Poland, the United Kingdom declared war against Germany. Chamberlain was replaced as Prime Minister by Winston Churchill, who had been warning his countrymen about Hitler for years. In a 1935 essay, Churchill foresaw that Hitler's supposed candor, moderation, and reassurance were all a ruse. He never met Hitler face to face, but Churchill still recognized that Hitler was an evil man set on world domination. How did Chamberlain miss it? One reason is that evil can be difficult to recognize. That's because Satan, whom Jesus called the father of lies, is a master deceiver. And so are the many demons who work for Satan, as C.S. Lewis posits in his classic book, The Screwtape Letters. I covered that book in episode 1.12 when I spoke about temptation. 2 decades after The Screwtape Letters was published, Lewis revealed that he pictured hell as a place where everyone is concerned about his own advancement and, quote, lives the deadly serious passions of envy, self-importance, and resentment, end quote. Another factor that makes it difficult to recognize and battle evil is that a big part of the battle occurs in the spiritual realm. We're intimately familiar with the physical realm, the world that we can see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. But our senses don't do us much good in the spiritual realm. As a result, many of us don't know much about that realm. A good place to learn more is the Bible. Here are a few examples. In Luke 10:18, Jesus says that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Revelation 12:7-9 provides some details on that event. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Spiritual warfare is real. The forces of evil continue to wage war against the forces of good. We're in the middle of it, but we have lots of help. Angels fight for us, and their commander-in-chief is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or, more literally, the God of angel armies. In chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, Daniel has a troubling vision. It's so troubling that Daniel prays to God for understanding and begins to mourn, refusing to anoint himself, eat meat or other choice food, or drink wine. 3 weeks later, an angel finally appears and explains the vision. What took so long? The angel explains that God dispatched him as soon as Daniel prayed, but the angel was ambushed by a, quote, prince of the kingdom of Persia, unquote. That prince, or demon, was so strong and the battle was so fierce that after 3 weeks, the angel and the demon were still deadlocked. The archangel Michael had to join the fray and battle the demon so that the angel could go and meet with Daniel. When we pray, God hears us and God responds, often immediately. But our requests are coming from the front lines of a fierce war that has been raging since the dawn of time, and our enemies are doing everything they can to prevent God's response from getting through. God and his angel armies are with us and fighting for us against our enemies. Sometimes when God seems silent, it's because his troops have their hands full. And even then, we have help, because God has equipped us for the battle against evil. Here's an excerpt from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Finally, remember that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and according to 1 John 4:4, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hang in there. Next week, I'll look at the big topic of faith. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.